the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
We're ready to go. I'm getting some signals from across the desk from one Tom King that suggests that the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the mid-finals Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, is underway. And the Cats, we didn't do one last week, did we?
We did not do one.
No,
did
we? We were managed last week.
We were.
Yeah. So we haven't,
because we knew we'd be doing one this week. Yeah, way.
Well, we haven't spoken about, it's probably old news, really, isn't it? But we haven't spoken about how good the Pussycats were in demolishing the Lions, have we?
Well, no, this is the first podcast since.
Yeah, so we haven't spoken about it.
No, but right. It's not like we had a week off. It's only 6 days ago.
Is it?
Yeah, it was last Friday.
Thinking it was, everything molds into one.
No.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was thinking it was the week before. Christ.
How are you going?
Lucky, I need to have a beef Wellington, I think.
Oh, Benny.
Yeah, What?
No.
I did stumble across a little container of cookie skinny in the freezer. It had been there for quite some time. It was behind a big sort of leg of lamb.
Right.
And anyway, I removed the leg of lamb, yeah, and I found this little container in the back of the fridge.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this is, what do we got here? Anyway, so.
Choc chip?
It was choc chip, Kingy. I was choc chipped too, a little bit. Anyway, it was turned out to be a lovely little bit of choc chip arrangement.
Good.
Anyway, so I've got a little bit left.
Right.
So I can't wait to, anyway. But, you know, when you find.
Were good.
It was almost as good as.
No. You know, what?
No, it was always as good as when you. Why you laugh?
You're an idiot.
It was always like when you get put your hand in a pocket or a coat you haven't worn for ages, and you find a 50.
50, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was like
it's usually after a day on the punt when you've had 1,000 beers
on the Rex Hunt,
and then you find yourself, oh, I've snuck some away for the taxi ride, and in the end got an Uber.
That's right. Well, back in the day, you'd find other things in your pockets, other wouldn't than cashola.
Right. Must have been different. Must have been in different days.
Maybe the old ribbed one.
No.
Did you know that if you turn those things inside out so you had all the fun, you were considered selfish? That's disastrous, isn't it? Do you reckon those rib things made any difference? I don't reckon they did. We'd have to get someone on to talk about that, King. It's not for us to talk about it. But anyway, I reckon that was one of the greatest marketing frauds of all time.
Talk about the Cats.
Yeah, they were good, King.
They were very good.
They were extraordinary. Yeah. That was the best game they've played for the year. Do you reckon? I reckon it was.
Recency bias.
Well, not only because it was four quarters.
Yeah. Save for that 2 minutes of umpire madness.
Yeah, but that wasn't anything to do with the Cats.
Yeah, correct. So, yeah, Geelong controlled the game.
They controlled the game. Their pressure was first class. They looked dangerous when they went inside forward 50. They seemed to have Brisbane covered behind the ball, which teams have struggled with against Brisbane this year. And the other thing, Kingy, that I really liked was the fact that they did overcome that umpiring faux pas, and it didn't derail their concentration. It didn't derail the way they played, and it didn't derail the result. They were actually,
happening just before halftime helped, I think, because it gives you, because wasn't long between the goal and the halftime. It allowed the Cats to go back in and reset a little bit.
Yeah, halftime probably actually in the end came at a good time for the Cats, just off the back of that. But geez, they were dominant. I thought the margin flattered Brisbane.
Yep.
38 points. It probably should have been about 9 goals, I would have thought. And in fairness, Kingy, I know it's easy. It's easy in hindsight. But if you looked at that, I mean, Brisbane were relying on Ty Gallup, who was playing. How many games was Ty Gallup?
That was his third, I think.
They were relying on Logan Morris, yep, who's had a good year, but he's 20.
Yep.
And they were relying on Sam Day, who's been around since the Brontosaurus burgers were being roaming Cario.
Well, he actually turned 33 on Saturday.
And he's slower than me.
Yep.
They were their three forwards. Now, Charlie Cameron couldn't get a kick.
Charlie Cameron struggled to get a kick all year.
He kicked that first goal and then he didn't have another kick, literally.
I was legitimately worried when he got that cheapie early. I'm thinking, oh, no, hang on, this is not good signs.
No. Well, ironically, can you talk about good signs? I was talking about it yesterday with somebody that It was the complete reverse of the Geelong-Brisbane game at GMHBA Stadium.
Yep.
Because you'll know, who was the player that chopped it off early, got it to Cameron? Stengel, was it? Chopped off a kick that came inboard from Zorko, I reckon.
Yep.
And was it Stengel who chopped it off and kicked it to Cameron who kicked the goal?
I think so, yeah.
Well, from then, if you were a Brisbane Lion, you were thinking, oh.
This could be a long night.
And the exact same thing happened to the Cats down here when Wilmot chopped off a kick of Myers, ran into the open goal. You're thinking, this is going to be a long night.
Yep.
And I know it's only one piece of play and you can't multiply that out.
But it can influence momentum. Well,
you just knew the Cats were on.
Yeah.
Defensively they were on. I reckon close laid a tackle before that that kept the ball inside forward 50. And then I think it was Stengel, chopped off a kick. Geelong get a goal. And just the momentum, the enthusiasm, the things that they'd spoken about pre-game were obviously coming to fruition. It just gives you that confidence.
It reinforces
absolutely
what you're doing.
Absolutely. And then the other things that worked for them were that, I mean, Mullen completely obliterated McCluggage.
Yep.
I mean, he gained less than 100 metres.
That was a masterclass in not I won't use the word tagging, I'll say negating.
Yeah.
Because if you're tagging, you're not getting your hands on the footy yourself. You are just genuinely focused on the opposition player and just restricting his influence. Mullen got his hands on the footy.
He had a few positions. He kicked the goal. Well, the other thing too, I suppose, Kingy, with that is that if you're tagging McCluggage, you are going to be around the ball. So you'd want to get a few touches.
He got seven. McCluggage finished the night with 14.
Two kicks.
Yeah.
I think it was two kicks, 12 hand passes, less than 100 metres gain.
Four kicks, 10 hand passes.
I don't reckon he had an inside 50.
Just having a look at the
numbers. And I reckon he had one clearance.
He had one inside 50. And he had...
Well, no clearances, was it?
Three clearances. But these all came when the game was...
Yeah, they were when the game was over. Yeah. O'Connor did a job on Rayner. I know Rayner kicked three, two-handed to him. Was pretty well beaten. Lachie Neal got a lot of it. Wasn't enormously damaging, but credit to him. I mean, he touched it 32 times before he went off.
Won't play again this year.
No, he's out. Will Ashcroft... He's a good player. He played okay. Geelong just swamped them, though. They didn't look dangerous. Holmes didn't have huge numbers, but geez, he had some impact.
23 is still a good return.
Yeah, 23 is good, but he's had upwards of 30 this year.
But eight inside 50s?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the impact.
Five clearances.
And they also switched in between halfback and midfield.
Yep.
So he actually seemed to do a little bit more damage when he was playing off halfback. So it's great to be able to do that in patches. And maybe, I know he's a difficult player to tag, but if he was a bit quiet in the midfield, you put him to halfback and try and create some run that way. So he can actually have, you know, dual roles in terms of the way he threatens the opposition. And, Geelong didn't have a bad player, did they? I thought Blitzarves, I know we talked about it pre-game.
He had 20 disposals.
And I reckon he had 14 in the first half. So, I had a theory, Kingy, and I'm not often right, but I had a theory that Reece Stanley being out just for that game wasn't going to hurt the Cats to any great degree because Blitzarves' running capacity was always going to be really damaging for Darcy Ford.
I think there's only one ruck left in the comp that Geelong will play that you would think, oh, we might need Stanley
back
for.
Be Lloyd Meek.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe Cameron if they played the Pies in the grand final,
yep.
But I don't think Stanley's back next week. It's listed as 1-3.
Do you think would they roll the dice with him in a granny?
No.
It's a big call, isn't it? If he was fully fit.
It comes down to the opponent. Because I think against Collingwood...
I think Cameron, you'd probably want Stanley.
You would want Stanley, but can you get away with... Collingwood aren't the tallest forward line going around.
They brought Mason Cox in now.
Yeah. But you could still get away with playing...
Or you'd have to play De Koning.
Probably. I don't think he'll get back.
Cameron and Meek are the two that...
And my worry is that Reece Stanley might have played his last game for Geelong without even knowing it.
Well, it seems like the momentum is building for Rowan Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall and Warple is...
Well, I told you I saw Warple at the local footy, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
So he was at the girls' football,
right,
of all things.
Yep.
The kids' finals.
Okay.
2 weeks ago on a Sunday.
His sister Emily's heavily tied up in women's footy.
Which club?
Grovedale.
Yeah, well, Grovedale. I don't know that Grovedale were playing.
She's played at Grovedale, been in teams of the year there, so.
Right. Is this senior level?
Yeah, it's senior level, but I think she might lend
a
hand.
No, he was there for an under-12 game, and then there was only, I think, under...
There are a lot of Warples.
Right.
brothers and sisters, so potentially a niece.
Anyway, he was at he was at Geelong. He was in Geelong on the Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago,
which is probably not
not unusual. But the fact he hasn't re-signed at Hawthorn,
still
at this stage of the year, I'd be
I think
I'd be staggered if he's not at the Cats. And Rowan Marshall, well, I'll just have to work out how they go about getting Rowan Marshall. What are they giving up to get him? And is he? I mean, he. St Kilda have sort of backed themselves into a corner to a degree in that they've got all these recruits at ridiculously slamming inflated prices.
Well, one recruit, they've obviously, Wangan and Miller, they've signed at big dollars. De Koning's the only recruit at the inflated.
And Silvani.
Oh, that's true, yes.
5 years at $800,000. Is that what they're saying?
Good work if you can get it.
They've obviously had to up their offer to Windhager. Rowan Marshall would have grounds to be saying, look, where do I fit in here? This is not where I want to be.
Does Zach Merritt want to play for Geelong next year?
Well, you can't believe that a club captain would be meeting with a rival coach during finals, and that rival coach is involved in finals. Mm. I mean, it probably happens, but how it gets out is not ideal.
But is that being controlled by that they want it out there?
Well, the management probably do.
Yeah.
You would have thought.
Mm.
Well, if Geelong could get Warple and Marshall anyway, that'd be good. But anyway, I've got bigger fish to fry king in the short
fish,
term.
The old fish.
I've had a couple of fish to fry.
Fish to fry.
I fried a few after I'd had a little bit of stuff out of the freezer too.
Yeah, right, good. Ollie Dempsey, he's played a lot of good games over his 50-odd.
That was one of the better ones.
But I reckon that almost might have been his best.
Yeah, he's...
Probably for the moment and what was at stake, I think that was his best game for Geelong.
He played really well. And his input, Tom Atkins' input, Max Holmes' input.
Who's winning Geelong's best?
The irony was, Kingy, that Geelong were, until the umpires went off the Richter, you know, Geelong was, Stengel was having a shot to put them 33 points in front.
Yep.
And Bailey Smith had been really quiet in the first half.
Yep.
I think he only had 8 possessions. Very quiet. And the other one who was really quiet in the first half, much better second half, was Grian Myers. Yep. So there wasn't a great influence from Smith or Myers in the first half of footy at all.
And Shannon Neal didn't get near it.
So, well, I mean, probably a bit different with Shannon Neal, but in the midfield, if somebody said to you that Myers and Smith were both going to be very quiet in a half of footy, and the Cats against a Brisbane Lions team that's absolutely star-studded in the midfield, and Geelong were going to be having a shot late in the second quarter to be 6 goals in front, you would have thought that they were... stark raving mad.
I tell you who had a good influence on the game, a bloke that hasn't had a huge influence at times this year, is Brad Close. 18 disposals.
He was good. Really good.
Which I'm going to guess that 18 is Brad's best for the year.
He might have got all cheapy when they were winning by 1,000 points. He might have ended up closer to 20.
Equal high. Equal high with the Melbourne game and the Collingwood game.
He was good. Look, they were all good, Kingy. It was just a consummate team performance, really. And Geelong picked a good time to do it. The thing now, Kingy, I suppose, is that with that off the back of that performance, the lack of injuries, that the players in form, how the draw has opened up, anything now but a premiership is probably a disappointment.
Yep.
So how the Cats manage that mentally will be interesting, because it's a long time to sit and wait and think we need to be premiers. And I know they're not doing that on an hourly basis, but that they would know full well now that anything but a flag is going to be a disappointment.
Yes, but having been there in the last few years, majority of those blokes that are like the group is
very experienced. I'm not, and that's what holds them in good stead. That's what held them in good stead when the umpiring decisions didn't go their way and they came out in the second half and played like they did in the first. But we saw what sort of the mental game can do, I reckon, in the finals, Collingwood v Adelaide.
Hmm.
Adelaide absolutely soiled the sheets.
Hawthorn will beat them tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I reckon the two eliminate. I know you can get caught up in the elimination final winner.
Yep.
But there's things that Hawthorn do that I think worry Adelaide. And I think the Suns will tip over Brisbane because the Lions look, they looked slow, they looked beaten, they looked old. And
well, they're not. I mean, Jasper Fletcher, Ashcroft.
But some of the older guys just looked like, Neil gets hurt, goes out. Remember, the Suns beat them.
I'll be backing Brisbane.
Yep.
To beat Gold Coast.
Yep.
And I'm 50-50 Hawthorn Adelaide, but I think Adelaide, with that poor run under their belt last timeout against the Pies. I reckon that they will, that will be very, very close, and I'm hoping for our Geelong's sake that Adelaide can get over the line, because I think if Adelaide are playing Geelong over here, Geelong would be beating Adelaide comfortably. Hawthorn would make you a bit Bruce Nankervis.
Yes. Yep, I would prefer Adelaide.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Hawthorn had to go over there and beat them and get the momentum and their absolute tails up off the back of two finals wins on the road and come back to the MCG with absolutely nothing to lose, I'm not saying Geelong wouldn't beat them, but I'm saying that it would be, you'd be biting your nails. I think the Adelaide game, Geelong would be feeling quite comfortable that anywhere near their best would be, would comfortably be beating Adelaide in a prelim.
Loch Ness update.
What's happened?
King? Surgery.
Yeah, well, I did see that. So it's taken them that long to work that out. And
well, I think it's probably a route they're trying to avoid. But
what's the diagnosis? Is it Dr. Google?
It's midfoot.
Mid. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Well, he's had the navicular before.
So he's got a break in there, obviously.
Oh, potentially.
Will there be screws inserted?
Oh, yeah. Nate's got disaster written all over it.
Do you think I'll have to use an Allen key on him?
I don't know. He can't go through the airport scanner.
Right. So it's not looking good for Loch Ness.
No. And your man won't be seen again this year either.
Yeah, that's disappointing. He's had a disastrous year, hasn't he?
He's been stuck on 198 games for 12 months.
Well, he'll be back next year, though.
Yes, turns 30 soon.
Yeah, he can come back and get back to his best and next year.
Play two or three more years.
Yeah. Is he contracted next year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's been discussed. He is. Some places have got him listed as being out of contract, but my understanding is, talking to the club, he is contracted for next year.
Well, he'll come back and hopefully return to his best, Mitch, and just be another, like a recruit.
Mitch Duncan going to the Eagles is just about a lock.
You reckon?
Yeah, as a line assistant, not going in as a development coach. That it'll be an actual assistant coach's role.
And playing?
No. So just going as an assistant.
Stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's done. No, when he announced his retirement, 2 weeks ago, that was
wet toast.
I'm done, yeah.
How do you think the lovely will be organising that?
I don't know. Not sure what family Mitch has got left over there. There's some, but not the support networks.
It's a
here.
Long way to go with the kids.
It is, yep. And there's four of them.
Do you think he ever deleted that footage off his blower?
I don't know what you're talking about, Ben.
Neither do I.
And if I need to move on. I need to move on. You need to move on. Do you want some questions, Benny?
Look, Kingy, I absolutely love questions.
All right, off the KFC X, Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, once again, great call Friday night. Was that the most loudest Geelong crowd you've heard in a while?
Yeah, when they weren't happy.
No.
If anyone want to get a crowd up and about, make them not happy. And they were not happy.
Did you think O'Sullivan would come this far?
No. Kingy, you didn't.
I said he'd play 15 games this year.
Yeah, you didn't think he'd come this far. He's gone further than you thought as well.
He's gone
way past what I thought and further than you thought.
Yeah. I thought that was the best team game played in a very long time, especially our tackle pressure. Medicus, gents, noticed something in week one of the finals. I could count the number of centre bounce recalls on one hand across all four games. What changed? I actually don't know if there was a centre bounce recalled in Geelong Friday night, was it?
No.
Do you know what I also noticed, though?
I can't remember.
Do you know when Geelong got the 666 warning? They bounced it afterwards. Do you know how they usually throw it up?
Well, the umpires had a howler then. Do you know, Kingy, I don't know if I've said this, have I? So I was talking to an AFL umpire. You'd be surprised. But I was talking to an AFL umpire. And
former or current?
Current.
Yep.
Yeah, current. He bounces the pills and adjudicates.
Yep.
And he got dropped. And he was not told in any way, shape, or form.
No feedback.
Why he was dropped.
Yeah.
He had to go and seek that out himself. And the reason was because he gave away 250s that were incorrect.
Wow.
So there was nothing wrong with his actual decision making in terms of general play, but he gave away 250s that were incorrect. And he said that is a regular occurrence. The umpires get absolutely no feedback. Did you hear Razor Ray talking during the week on Fox Foosball?
I didn't see him, but I have heard anecdotes of what was said.
Yeah. He said we're going down a slippery path, and he basically alluded to the fact that he doesn't think the game, from an umpiring perspective, is governed that well without actually saying that. And anyway, I was staggered. This umpire said to me, he said a few things that I won't repeat, but I think you'd be staggered what goes on.
Yep.
Staggered.
Next year we'll see the sub abolished. We'll just go to 23 players.
Yeah. Maybe a final 10?
I hope not.
They're going on about wild card. It's actually 10 team 10 finals.
Because wild cards are the word they use in.
It's ridiculous.
In the US.
It's 10 teams in the final.
Yeah. You had a golf lesson?
Yeah. And the pro said that he goes, I needed to work on my follow through.
Oh, dear. Mitch Hawley has.
Do you know that joke?
No, I'm moving on. I don't need to move on. I need to move on. Mitch Hawley has.
And he goes, not with the club. He goes, you've shit your pants.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, I love a bit of humour, like a bit of table slapping.
Mick Howley has.
Do you want another one?
No. Has the Geelong medical staff confirmed that Loch Ness has feet?
Yes.
And
a back.
And Zach 1111 think the Cats would rather play the Crows. Daniel Hoyne says the Cats have one weakness, which is defending transition. I think is it Daniel Hoyne the guy from Champion Data?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Crows are a poor transition team. What do you think?
Well, yeah, they do. I think they were. Did they rank last in terms of turning defensive 50s into scores? I might be wrong there. Mm-hmm. I know the Cats ranked 18th going in Friday night in terms of defending the rebound 50s. So they were last in the league at defending a rebound 50 and then that turning into a score for the opposition. The Cats were dead last and they were really good at it. Because I asked Stephen King before the game and I could sense in his voice that he was all over that, King. Yeah. He knew that that was an area that they could not allow players like Wilmot and Zorko to take control. And we spoke about that, Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, in the lead-up to the game.
Big footy. Judas Maximus, your theory on why a midfield is run on low time on grounds compared to other teams? You see the numbers more than I do.
Oh, I don't know. Atkins was, I reckon, from memory, his time on ground was down a little bit compared to some other midfielders on Friday night.
Right, so the time on ground from the Geelong midfield, mm-hmm. Holmes was the best at 85%, Bailey Smith 85%, mm-hmm. Manor 84%, Myers 82%, Blitzarms played 80%, Close, Dempsey 80%, Atkins 77%, Mullen 77%, Bowe 76%, Dangerfield 75%.
Well, I mean, I think that...
Jai Clark, 2%.
And he should have kicked a goal. Mm. I mean, if it's working for you and your team's going well, having players on the slightly on the fresher side and you're not getting drop-off when you're rotating, I don't know why you wouldn't be doing that. I think there's always the danger that, you know, your players stay out there too long and you've got the opposition rotating and they're a bit fresher over the course of a quarter. That can be the difference in a goal or two here or there. So, I'm all for rotating. The only thing is you just need to be careful in the modern footy that you don't end up with somebody off for 6, 7, 8 minutes, yeah, and the ball's on the other side of the ground, which sometimes can't be controlled. But you've got to be really careful that doesn't happen, particularly at a crucial stage. And we tend to watch the final, you know, the final few minutes or the final 10 minutes and then they'll highlight that such and such has been off for 7 minutes and can't get back on. But there's other periods in the game when that can be equal as crucial, but we just don't highlight it.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
Yep. Foxdog 50, firstly, we want to say how lucky we are to have a player in Blitzarves. Bloody lucky to have a player that can play in every position on the ground. Hope when he leaves we can find a player in the draft that we can make into Blitzarves that can play in any position we ask him, or maybe I'm dreaming. Do you think we can still win the flag if Stanley season is gone with his hamstring and playing Blitz and DeConing as our ruck combo? And how do you think DeConing went in the ruck when he went in there on Friday night?
Oh, he was okay.
He held his own.
Yeah, he held his own. I mean, he's up against Darcy Ford. He's not exactly against Peter Moore.
No.
But, he was okay. It's not really his go. I like him in defence, but if we've got to throw him in there and with Stanley out, then so be it. But I mean, the fact he went forward, was able to kick a goal in the first half, was handy.
Mm.
To be able to hit the scoreboard. Mm. But I Blitzarves is obviously going to be the ruckman and just pinch hitting. If we play Adelaide, I mean, Thilthorpe's enormous. You probably need DeConing on Thilthorpe, I would have thought. I don't know you get away with Jack Henry.
No.
Not only is Thilthorpe wide, but he's also about 200.
Yep.
I reckon that'd be very, very dangerous ploy to be considering Jack Henry against somebody who is just seriously bigger than him. I mean, DeConing would actually be taller than him. So you get the reach in terms of a marking, and he marks at the highest point, Thilthorpe. Mm. Hawthorne don't have that obvious. I'd be happy if they were playing Hawthorne for a Henry to be locked on a Marby or Chole.
Yep.
Even a Mitch Lewis, I reckon you get away with that. I reckon against Adelaide you would need DeConing to be pretty much playing full-time in defence. So I don't know whether that Shannon Neal comes up and does a bit of rucking.
Yep.
That's a possibility. But against the Hawks, I reckon you could get away with De Koning going to the ruck against Adelaide. I just don't know. It would have to time him when Thulthorpe's off the ground.
I hear Marshall was at a Ford dealership pre-booking to get his Ford Ranger Raptor. What would you say is a fair trade for Rowan Marshall to Geelong? Two years left on his contract, but he is 30 years old.
Well, I reckon he's in the wheelhouse of his best footy as a ruckman. Yep. 29 to 32, 33 is your best footy. You know, and he's got the grounding. How many games has Rowan Marshall played, King? You've got to tell me that.
It's in 100 and, I think it's north of 150 now.
He if Geelong get Rowan Marshall, they could get four seriously good years out of Rowan Marshall. Possibly even five to 34.
156, Benny.
There you go. I don't think you could get a better time to get him, in fairness. And, you know, he's not a... Like I said, I think... In modern footy, I mean, you look at the best ruckman in the competition, Kingy. I mean, how old's Darcy Cameron?
He's got a three in front of his age now.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yep.
He's playing his best footy. Max Gawn played his best footy from across the last 5 years, from 30 to, what is he, 35?
Yeah, thereabouts.
I'm trying to think, Kingy, off the top of my head. Oscar McInerney would have to be nearly 30. I know he's not playing for Brisbane, but he's been a very good player.
Darcy Cameron's just turned 30.
Just turned 30, so there you go. How old is Lloyd Meek?
Now, he's got to be 27, I reckon.
He's probably not quite 30, but he's not 23 either. No. He's been around a while. He was at Freo. He's been at Hawthorn for a few years.
Lloyd Meek is, what did I say?
27.
Yeah, I was bang on.
Yeah, so 27. So, okay, so, but he's still ascending as a ruckman. I reckon you hit your peak about 30.
Yeah, Lloyd Meek didn't debut till didn't play with Hawthorn until he was 24. How old was he debuted with?
Who else have we got?
He debuted at 22 with Freo.
Jared Witt?
Yep.
He'd have to be way over 30.
Yeah, Jared Witt would be 33 or 34.
Yeah, look, if Geelong can somehow pull this off and get Rowan Marshall, you are getting the best of Rowan Marshall, I reckon, for the next at least 4 years.
Yeah, Witt actually turns 33 on Saturday.
Right.
Yep.
Which gives Geelong the chance for Loch Ness Conway, because if you're going on that theory, you can carry Conway for the next 3 years.
And this is where you really hope, and well, this is from a personal opinion, that Rhys Stanley can get back and play, and hey, Rhys, we're going to play your grand final day, and that's it. You're done.
Yeah.
We're bringing in Rowan Marshall.
Well... Yeah, and if that's the best way to go and that's the matchup and he's fit, yes, Kingy, I wouldn't be doing that for like a farewell.
No.
Not in a granny.
Cats do it better. We have been building good form, but under the radar, now we're flag favourites. I think our game is so well suited to the G. Do you see any changes? Clark could come out. Doesn't sound like Stanley will play the prelim. Have you heard reports from him in the practice match with the Pies? I haven't heard much from that scratch match. That was played.
Bobby Hill kicked four.
He did for Collingwood. In terms of the Geelong Bucks, Geelong rolled out a lot of VFL players.
Right.
They only played the Nevitts and Cam Guthries and guys like that, but I haven't had any feedback on performance or anything yet.
So what about players like Polkinghorne?
I think a lot of the kids didn't play.
Right.
Yeah.
They got the GFL players to play?
Yeah, I know four blokes from South Barham played. Like, they played one of their water boys who plays local footy for Ocean Grove.
Right.
A bloke called Harry Cash, and he's played South Barham.
Nobody missed a final for that, surely. None of the GFL players missed a final.
No. They only played blokes who were, out. Yeah. But they didn't play some of the better VFL players.
So are they playing this week?
I haven't heard. No, not sure.
Was there any talk that they might?
I don't know what they can do there because of the way...
But they have to play Collingwood again.
They would have to play Collingwood again because the only other club that they eventually could play is if Box Hill got knocked out of a prelim. But even then... One of Geelong or Hawthorn will be out next Friday night.
Yeah.
So you'd probably think Geelong and Collingwood are probably playing each other again. Well, or Hawthorn and Collingwood are playing each other next Saturday in a scratch match of some description. Yeah. That's only if Box Hill were bundled out this weekend in the VFL prelims.
I did hear, Kingy, too, another thing, another ploy that the Pies have been using.
Hmm.
So they've been getting umpires to come down to training and... To umpire their sort of match sim.
Yep.
Yeah. And
they're not alone there. Other clubs
do. No. Yeah. I think every club does it, do they? The coach will go over to the umpires at certain points during the match simulation and just say, do not pay a free kick for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So they get used to chaos footy. So there's no, and the players don't know.
Yep.
And the game's just going.
Yeah, right.
It's just going the whole time. so there's no free kicks paid. So they're trying to get them used to, acclimatised to absolute chaos footy where the whistle doesn't go. So I thought that was something to put in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah. Footy Lad Zero.
What have you put in your pipe and smoke?
Never had a pipe, Benny.
You've never had a pipe.
No. Huge win on the weekend. Hope my.
What about a King Kong?
my grandfather used to have the old.
Oh, yeah.
The tobacco pipe. Used to do that.
It used to smell beautiful, didn't it?
Huge win on the weekend. Hope you both got as much pleasure as I did. Think that was one of the best Cats wins in the last decade. Complete four-quarter performance title. The most individual goal kickers in VFL AFL finals history with 13. Mullen's first ever goal coming in this high-pressure setting was a personal highlight. Perseverance and hard work paying off for a genuinely good kid. Phenomenal stuff. Great team win. Moving forward to the prelim final, are we more inclined to the Hawks or the Crows?
Well, we've already spoken about that. I think the Crows myself, I think Hawthorn would make you pretty well, Geelong playing like they did against Brisbane, you'd think would have enough to beat Hawthorn, but I think they make you far more nervous than a travelling Adelaide with no Isaac Rankin.
Catters 07, gent. Great performance Friday night. Even more great coaching from Chris Scott. They came up with a plan to take away the Lions' run and carry, and really the scoreline flattered them. Also, I reckon this year the Cats enjoy the wider grounds more than GMHPA. They seem to want to widen the ground and have the ball and the half forwards and wingers run and carry. Really sets the Cats up well, but I'm terrified of a prospect of playing the Hawks in a prelim. Great calling as always. Kingy and Tui, I was ready to storm the field to celebrate with Mullen after his first. All the best for the prelim.
Yeah, it was very exciting, Kingy. You and Reg got sort of... Yeah, you know, intimate, didn't you?
Daryl East, like...
It was a bit
close up to the threshold of pain.
Daryl East, old dags. Sky rockets above.
Daz Broncos for the Cat Attack podcast.
Massive. Remember when he used to commentate the dash for cash in the snow?
Yes. Yeah. they'd go to Threadbow,
oh, yeah.
And they'd be on those
and he'd commentate
on the black tubes,
yep.
And they'd go down.
And he started one off with sky rockets above.
Daz Broncos, what is it with the Geelong Footy Club and the number 39 giving away free kicks in finals just before halftime? Darren Milburn, 09.
Big Dasher, yeah.
Dasher and Zuthri, both offenders. Now two more wins. Let's get it done. Howler, 41. Just a real professional performance from the Pussies. From the coach's box down to the boot stutter.
Yes.
Mullen put McClug... he's called him not McCluggage. He's called him Mick Luggage into witness protection. And Mark the Shark beat Rayner, in my opinion. Also, umpire number 33, which is actually Brent Wallace.
Yeah, so son of Terry.
Terry.
Yeah, he's been dropped for this week.
Needs to be sent on a fact-finding mission to North Korea, one-way ticket style.
he got that horribly wrong.
Yeah, week off to rest the weary body. On that, I'm not defending the decision. The decision was wrong. But just don't give an umpire a reason to make a decision.
No.
So if O'Connor doesn't put his forearm into his back, he doesn't give the umpire a reason to make the call when the ball's 150 metres away.
The problem will be they'll go the other way this week. The blows will, you'll be able to knock blokes in 5-4-50 and they won't pay free kicks.
Yeah.
They won't pay them. They'll be too reticent to.
Yep.
But I just think by paying those free kicks, you open up just this flopping aspect, which creates another grey area for the umpires to adjudicate, which we just don't need.
No.
That's the problem. And how he didn't get done for staging,
yeah, that was
why they didn't send a message and say, this is not on, it staggers me, because it was the perfect opportunity. Because players will do that. If you can milk a free kick, that's good on you. Yeah. That's part of the... I mean, players milk free kicks all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't want players doing that because then thinking, well, I'm a good chance of getting rewarded if I do. Yeah. Because it'll just happen more and more.
Unsure on Clark as the sub would prefer someone more experienced? Well, more experienced is Guthrie and Duncan.
Yeah, you're not going to those, I wouldn't have thought. I thought Nevitt might have been the sub. Yeah. He's more experienced than Joe Clark. Look, he gives you another midfield option. He's got a bit of run. He's courageous. I'm not against it. I think it... Yeah, look, you probably can't put him up forward, but you can fashion other players around that, though.
Yep.
You do have players who can come out of the midfield and go forward or go back, and he can go into the midfield. He gives you some run when you need it. He might create something around the ball. I'm not against it. I think it's probably... Either he or Nevitt would be the two.
All right. Thank you to everybody who contacted us via the social media. Hydro's Heroes.
He was freer than Deborah Harry there at the end, wasn't he?
What?
Freer than... Remember those great shots of Deborah?
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes, yes. Move on, Benny. Right.
Did you like those photos, Kingy?
No.
You did. So did you ever have one up on your wall that provided?
I'm a bit younger than you.
Oh, Deborah Harry was extraordinary. Yes. And she
Blondie were a very good band.
And she didn't like any sort of undergarments either.
Yes, I know, Ben. Unfortunately Clem Burke passed away.
Oh, really?
The drummer from Blondie.
Right.
He was one of the best drummers going around, Clem Burke.
Yes.
Because he had some serious chops on the drums.
Well, if you were
But they played some very what would you call it? Some tricky stuff to drum. Mm. Some of the stuff that he had to drum was, yeah.
Especially if he's sort of behind Deborah, behind her tushy as she's out there out front, Kingy.
Yes.
Would you be drumming pretty hard yourself?
All right. We got a mock.
Would you be on the snare, or would you sort of just go a bit lower and give it a little bit of bass?
The floor tom, something like that.
Oh, you'd be giving a bit of floor tom, all right, I would have thought.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
Yep. Get the show back on.
Yes, you get the show back on,
Kiki.
Right, so Hydro.
Yes.
Our good mate Hydro. We've been doing Hydro's Heroes this year. So what's happened is from 1975 to 2025, we've looked at how players have influenced the Cats in a jumper number. There's one that I look back on now and go, maybe we probably erred, and I think it's the Wayne Kloster Stephen King one. We got Kloster in, but his footy was done in about 75 or 76.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen King in the end should have been the one, but we can't change it.
No, we can't, Kingy.
So we have to move on. That's the only one that probably doesn't rest comfortably with me. Now, you've got the odds.
Yes, I've got the odds.
And I've got the evens.
So who did Hydro come up with in his team of odds? Because I've done my team.
Yep. So
and I only glanced at that team, and then I've done mine like quite a bit after, so I actually can't remember. So I've just done my team off the bat. We'll see how many we got the same.
So Hydro's team, this is from the back line for the odds.
Yep.
The 33 was Bruce Dankervis.
Right.
13, Domsey Lonigan.
Yes.
41, Josh Hunt.
Yeah, I had two of them, yep.
Yep. 3, Jimmy Bartel.
No, I didn't have him.
39 was Milburn.
Yes, had that.
37 was...
Sean Simpson.
Simpson.
No, I didn't have that either.
On the wing, Michael Turner. In the centre, Paul Couch.
Yes, I had that.
And on the other wing, Peter Riccardi.
That was my centre line too.
Wayne Kloster on a half forward flank.
No.
Cam Mooney at centre half forward.
Yes.
The Gazook on
the
other half.
Yes, the great Gazookie.
Yeah. Paul Chapman
you
in
could
one.
Have the great Gazookie in about 9 spots, King.
Paul Chapman in one pocket.
Did we go Chapman? We went Dangerfield, didn't we?
Oh, is it Dangerfield?
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Dangerfield in one pocket.
Yep.
Larry Donoghue at full forward.
Yes.
And the Rat Buse in...
Well, I had Busey in the back pocket.
Yep. The Ruck was Sam Newman.
Yes.
The Ruck Rover was Joel Corey.
Right.
And the Rover was Gazook Jr.
Yes.
The bench for you was Ling.
Yep.
Merriman.
Mm-hmm.
Mensch.
Yep.
And who was the 25?
Lockie Henderson.
Listen. Was it?
Yep.
Was it really?
Yep.
Right. So that was Hydro's.
That was Hydro's team of the odds.
Yep.
My team, Kingy.
Of odds.
I've missed one, though, for some reason. My team for odds was Buse, Lonigan, Hunt.
Yeah. But isn't a number missing? We did 46 numbers and there's only...
23. I've got 23 here.
Yeah. Hydro's left somebody out.
Well, Midge.
Has he named a sub?
He had Mensch in there. My team was... I've somehow left Mensch out. I don't know where I've put him. But anyway, he's not in there. So my team is Buse, Lonigan, Hunt, Melbourne, Henderson, Bruce, Nankervis,
yep.
Turner, Couch, Riccardi, that picks itself,
yep.
Corey, Mooney, Ablett Sr., Dangerfield, Big Larry Donoghue,
yep.
And Cameron Ling in the pocket.
Would you switch Sr. down into a pocket and Dangerfield up the ground?
Possibly, but Gaz...
He just goes wherever he wants.
Yeah, Gaz probably has Dangerfield covered, in fairness. Yeah. Newman, Bartel and Ablett Jr.
Yep.
And my pine was Rusty Merriman, Simpson.
Yep.
Mensch, Kloster and Bruns.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Brunsy's the one that I reckon he's missed.
I had Brunsy on the pine. I did have Brunsy in the... I had to put Joel Corey on ahead of Brunsy.
Yep.
So I had... and I put... I couldn't find a spot for Menchie, and I tried. You have to have, there's some recency bias helps, but you have to have on the field Dangerfield, Corey. You have to have Ablett Jr. and Bartel.
Yep.
So Merriman, Simpson, Hunt, Gloucester, Bruns were probably the five lesser lights the five in that of the 23.
Okay.
So, it's a good team, though.
So
who am I playing, King?
So you're playing a team that I didn't pick. This was picked by Hydro because yes. I didn't do my homework. So from the back line, Harley,
oh, yeah.
Scarlett, oh. Wijinski.
That's a reasonable defensive unit.
Half back line, Enright,
oh, yeah.
Graham, Jack Henry.
Shit, we're going to struggle to score, I think.
Duncan on a wing. Yeah. In the middle. Who's in the 42 in the middle?
In the middle?
Is that O'Connor in the middle? Yeah. Oh, doing a tagging job on Couchy.
Yeah.
Right. And Blitzarves on the other wing.
Yes.
Forward line, Johnson.
Yes.
Brownless. Ooh. And I'm just looking at who the 12 is.
Scholl.
In Brad Scholl. Yep. Forward line of Ottens, Hawkins.
Wow, you get a better team than I thought.
And who's in the eight? Rotten Ronnie.
Yeah, Long Ron. Long Ron.
The ruck, Johnny Mossop.
Yep.
The ruck rover.
Big Lurch.
The ruck rover is a bloke called Selwood.
Yeah, what's
and him? The rover is a bloke called G. Hocking. My bench.
Yes.
The four was Mackie. Mac.
Yeah.
The 20, the 18 was
Kent Kingsley.
Yeah, the 24 is that Jed Buse?
24,
yeah,
Mark Boss.
Oh, is it? Oh, it is too. Yeah. And the 28 was that David
Tim Darcy?
Was it Darce? Was it? Yeah. So I'm missing one.
You're missing one. Hydro's missed one.
Yeah,
I'd have to say, Kingy, that your team perhaps has mine covered.
Mm.
Your defence is elite.
Yeah,
that is. They'd be struggling to score against that defence.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the only thing we've got is we've got some freaks on our side.
Yes.
Dangerfield, Ablett Senior, Ablett Junior, like can all do freakish things. And we've also got Josh Hunt, who could perhaps play on Long Ron.
Yes.
That'd be an interesting matchup. You'd need the measuring tape.
Get tied up.
Oh, goodness me. There's a couple of weapons there. why are you laughing, Tom?
What if Robin Nahas had a play?
If he was playing too, and you know who could trundle down and perhaps get involved in that?
Gary Hocking.
No, and Gary Senior, the Gazooki. you've been around footy clubs a little bit, but when Andrew Wills took me down to Cadinia Park one day and I was in the bowels.
Yes, and of the old Brownlow
stand. I told the story about Gaz was doing sit-ups in pink underpants.
Right.
Well, what was under those pink underpants? It was extraordinary.
Anyway, Ben, can we get out of here?
Anyway, we can, Kingy. Is there anyone else we could come down and? So if Josh Hunt,
yeah, no, Ben, no, you've had enough. Bye.
Don't cut this out. Good luck, Kingy. Are we back again before?
Yes, we'll do one next week
before the Cats play.
Yeah.
So who are you backing for?
Adelaide.
Right.
And Gold Coast.
But you think Hawthorn and Gold Coast will win?
Yep.
Rightio.
Bye.
Good luck, mate. The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.